Lexington is now getting down to the work of updating its 5-year comprehensive plan, a recurring process that's required by state law. Imagine Lexington is the title, as well as a call to action, of the process now underway, which will culminate in a new 2018 comprehensive plan for the city. Jim Duncan is director of Lexington's Division of Planning, and in that role, Jim is in charge of leading the community through this process. We thank you for joining us, Jim.
Thank you for being here.
First, why would our readers and listeners take an interest in the formulation of a comprehensive plan?
Well, the comprehensive plan serves as a guide, as a roadmap, if you will, for how the community is going to grow and develop into the future. And in our comprehensive plans, we try to look 20 years and beyond down the road. So it's important that the community have a stake in what the community is going to be into the future. And we really encourage participation and encourage the input from our citizens.
So even though each plan ostensibly has a 5-year life, you're really looking beyond 5 years.
Well, really, the 5 years is more of an update. It's
right.
It's not really an expiring plan. It's just checking on the status of the previous plan. And in some cases, there may be elements that we want to bring forward. Other times, that we may want to do some updating altogether.
Okay, let's talk about 2013. I've heard some very positive assessments of it. We're about 4 years into it now. What is your assessment of how it's performed?
I've been very pleased. We made some significant changes with the 2013 plan in the way it's organized compared to previous plans, the biggest being that we condensed it. We made broader themes and broader goals so that we could address many more issues without being so specific. That would allow us to be more responsive to things that we hadn't necessarily thought of, but to allow creativity in the development world and other aspects. So I believe we've been successful in achieving some of those aims, and we've been very pleased. We've also had a number of projects that were identified in the 2013 plan that we've been able to accomplish, particularly with some of our community plans, and I believe those will produce results over the years as well.
5 public input meetings have taken place around the city. They happened in February, I believe. Community organizations have been participating in input sessions. In March, the Bluegrass Community Trust's On the Table event generated more than 6,000 individual comments about what people would like to see happen in the city. Your staff has been combing through those thoughts and ideas and identifying leading trends and areas of concern. What issues are emerging as this goes along as some of the things that people would like to see addressed in the next plan?
I think we got our most diverse set of comments from the On the Table event. That was a very successful event, and we were pleased to reach many thousands of people and get different voices that we haven't heard before. And some of the things that emerged from that and from the February public input included some of the usual concerns, and they are concerns that we want to address, such as affordable housing and infill and the effects of infill and redevelopment, and the desire for more parks and open space and those kinds of things. We are accustomed to hearing that, and those are important issues and clearly to this community. But we've also been hearing some new themes, too, and that they're related to homelessness and crimes and crime and drugs, particularly with the heroin epidemic, and concerns about education in the community and other sort of non-traditional transportation themes such as walkability and public transit and more bike and pedestrian type facilities. So we heard a number of community issues that we believe that we can help translate into a comprehensive plan theme.
Who or what interests out there do you identify as the stakeholders and constituents, the usual suspects, if you will, in the process of developing this update?
Well, we certainly want to start by saying we believe every citizen is a stakeholder in this plan, and that's part of the purpose of the public input meetings is to reach those constituencies. And we also understand that we're not going to reach everyone, and there'll be some who are still not familiar with our plan. So we also reach out to some of the other organizations that generally represent them. And a lot of our citizens are represented by neighborhood associations. So we have that process, and the Fayette County Neighborhood Council, we like to work with them. There are other advocacy organizations that speak to specific issues such as affordable housing or rural land preservation. And then there are trade organizations that speak to their business interests. And so we reach out to them and we talk with them and hear some of their concerns.
Is anybody missing? Are there any groups or special interests or organizations out there that have not participated that you would like to see come into this discussion?
I think we've had more participation this time than we've ever had before from the broad spectrum. The On the Table event that we worked with the Bluegrass Community Foundation helped us to reach the constituencies that we've long been looking for, and that's the more disenfranchised groups in the community, those who may not be aware that this is going on or who may not ordinarily have the opportunity to come to one of our meetings. And so through this event and through the extensive outreach that was done to communicate with them, we feel like we were able to tap into some of that.
Among the concerns that you touched on just a few minutes ago, are there any real burning issues that you feel fall into the priority category?
Well, again, this is a plan that's by statute is designed to guide growth and development. So we have to keep that in mind as we're looking at what we're doing with the comprehensive plan. It's not a specific development plan for any one type of use, so we're looking at broader themes. But some of the top priorities still will be housing affordability and affordable housing, and those are two different issues, with the housing affordability being more to the workforce housing to ensure that we have our working folks sufficiently housed in this community, but then also the affordable housing issue for people for it's much more difficult to provide housing for those. So housing is certainly always an issue. But because of some of our long-term policies about growth, we are also hearing a lot about and concerned about infill and redevelopment and how to do that appropriately, how to ensure that that meets our community's needs, and how to ensure that that enhances neighborhoods, not takes away from it. Some other issues that come up that we have more trouble dealing with include regionalism. We're geographically a small county, just like all of our counties in Kentucky, and yet we find that many, many of our counties surrounding us and beyond have daily interactions with us, including working here. And so the impact of the region is significant, and that's a very difficult one to address, but we still acknowledge that we want to do what we can to address that.
That's been a tough one. I recall going back to the Newberry administration, an attempt made to convene the judge executives, the mayors of surrounding communities and counties, and an effort was made to find some commonality, some common ground, and it kind of fell apart. Is it still in that state? Has there been any improvement in relations?
I don't think there's any reason that any individual county wouldn't say they don't want to cooperate, but it becomes very difficult once you cross those lines. There's different cultures and different histories and even different economies in each county. And certainly some of our state structures make it difficult to cross county lines when we're trying to do these kinds of things. We do have regionalism in our transportation planning, particularly between Fayette and Jessamyn County and a portion of Scott County, and that's important. But it would be nice, it would be very helpful if we could have other regional issues such as revenue sharing and land use planning that cross county lines. I think that could help us significantly.
Which of these issues do you regard the stickiest? You mentioned affordability before and also infill and redevelopment. They're kind of related in some ways. Affordability comes to mind because we're concerned about at once being a growing, interesting, attractive community versus the pressure that's put on housing stock and conversely prices. What do you see there? What can we do to address the issue?
One of the issues associated with that, I think, is also equitability, if that's a proper word to talk about, in affordability. When we're talking about infill, and that's been our dominant growth policy for the past two comprehensive plans, really. is what does that mean, particularly in already established areas? To what does that mean for the existing residents who have been there for a while, and what kind of changes does infill impart to them that may not be in their best interest? So, I believe that remains a challenge and one that we will continue to work towards and try to sharpen our pencils on that. And I think part of that can be helped with design, and I don't mean just the design of buildings, but the layout of the infrastructure, the roads, the connections that are made, the opportunity for different types of development, so that you can ensure that children of all households have the opportunity to go to the best schools in Fayette County, and therefore have the opportunity to live in those vicinities as well. So, really, more diversity in how we distribute our housing, I think, would help towards that. But still, the bigger issue of how do you tackle affordability and affordable housing? Affordable housing is probably something that still needs. We'll always need a partnership with the public sector in order to achieve the housing affordability itself for the workforce housing. That's something else that needs to be thought about as well, because we want to ensure that we keep the working households in Fayette County, that we don't relegate them to other counties just because of affordable issues. Now, there may be other reasons that people choose to live outside of Fayette County and work here, but we don't want it to be because they can't have housing here.
At risk of going off on that tangent, but I think it's something that everybody's interested in, what's the going solution to that? What are you thinking about? How do we make housing remain affordable?
Well, part of that is just ensuring that we have a good supply of housing, but that may not mean the type of housing that we're used to seeing, that we used to have been seeing in the past. And there are a variety of models that provide housing at the scale that households need, but they may not look like what we've seen in the past, particularly as our community ages. We are seeing that more retirees are interested in continuing to own their home, but they don't necessarily need to own the house that they lived in with four side yards and a roof and all of that to maintain. So they're more interested perhaps in moving into something else that they would own. And then that helps to free up the housing stock for younger households with children and who want a yard and are ready for that. So I think the solution in part lies in ensuring that we are open as a community and able to provide the different variety of housing types that perhaps we don't have or don't have in abundance right now.
An implication of infill and redevelopment is increased density. How do you reconcile that prospect against the capacity issues that we have presented to us under the EPA consent decree, which has brought that front and center to our attention, that we have a capacity problem and a problem in supporting both our storm sewers and sanitary sewers in the face of growth?
I really see the capacity assurance program and the EPA consent decree as something positive for our development. For one thing, it provides a certainty of outcome. The developer knows that if they don't have the capacity that's required, that they will not be able to develop their property. So therefore, they either participate as they can to help with that capacity, or they will wait until that capacity is available. So I really think that particularly neighborhoods should not fear infill as compromising their water quality or their sanitary sewer capacity, because that's going to be taken care of through the regulatory process anyway, and development will be held back until in those particular areas those systems are available to handle it.
How difficult is it to reach consensus on some of these issues? Do the parties typically come into this agreeing to disagree agreeably and prepare to compromise, or are there some that you know just going in you're going to make an inch of progress every 5 years or so?
It's been my experience that these debates are generally respectful. They're spirited, but they're respectful. And we're not going to achieve consensus. But I do believe there is general agreement on a few issues, and one that Lexington is a great place, and that all sides approaching this want Lexington to continue to be a great place, and recognize some of the big elements that have made this an outstanding place to live and work, and want to protect and preserve those. So some of those things in the aggregate, I believe most people agree on. We really are down to details in a lot of instances. Now, there are some big issues that we are apart on, but I've also found that by working together, at least we all know what we're talking about, and we understand that we can come back and deal with this another day if we need to.
Are you hearing any interest or advocacy for expanding the urban services boundary to accommodate more growth and development?
I feel like that this time around, the question about expansion has really been more of a discussion question from all sides. Certainly during the public input process, we heard strong support for the urban service boundary and what the outcome of that means, and particularly the preservation of agricultural and natural lands. And that's extremely important to this community. I think it's this community recognizes that and generally supports that. So the question of expansion, I believe, at this stage of our progress and development would be more in increments rather than in anything in large scale. And I also believe that that for the most part, anybody who would be part of the expansion discussion would be looking for a specific reason to expand, not just to add more land for a future purpose, but for a specific purpose at this time that we need to expand land.
As you mentioned at the beginning of the interview, the comprehensive plan is sort of a living document that is rejuvenated every 5 years or so and renewed or reassessed. Does the city also need a similar periodically updated or revised blueprint for the long term? Is there something like that now, or do we need something like that?
Well, our comprehensive plan is general in scope, but it also includes an implementation chapter. And those are specific projects that speak to what the comprehensive plan is talking about. And so those are things that would be either from small area or neighborhood plans or updated studies or other kinds of infrastructure improvements such as trails and open space. So those are specifically called for in the comprehensive plan. And I believe help turn the guide of the comprehensive plan into a more day-to-day document. In many respects, I believe the comprehensive plan, the way we have crafted it, serves both purposes.
I'm sure you're living and breathing the comprehensive plan right now, will be for quite some time to come. Are there any points or issues that we've not touched on in this interview that you'd like to bring up?
I think it's important to note that again, this is a community plan, and that even though we've had public input for the goals and objectives phase at this point, there will be ongoing public input opportunities as we develop the plan. It takes us 2 years to write, even to update our plan as often as we do. So there will be public hearing opportunities this year for the goals and objectives, and then additional public input opportunities in 2018 as the Planning Commission then turns the goals and objectives into the plan. So I think that's important for the community to remember to understand is if they've felt like they've missed out, that they really haven't, that the opportunity to participate in the comprehensive plan is throughout the 2-year process, and we would invite that participation.
Is this something that a lot of cities around the country do, or are we in sort of unusual in this respect in Kentucky, since we have a state law that mandates it?
Kentucky was a leader in this decades ago when they mandated comprehensive planning for communities that regulate their land through zoning, which is what Fayette County does. And most of the communities in Kentucky have not adopted zoning, and so therefore they don't have comprehensive planning in the way we do. And the others, even in Kentucky, don't necessarily open up their comprehensive plans every 5 years the way we do. And they don't have to. The statute allows you to review the goals and objectives and determine whether they're still effective and then and readopt them. But we usually dig into it and see if we need to really update all the way around. I believe this, of course, best planning practice says you don't regulate land unless you have a plan for it. And so if a community is in other states, if they are regulating their land through zoning, then they're not really being guided in the best practice. And certainly the plan is the foundation for that.
I guess it's this willingness to reopen the thing every 5 years means that you folks at City Hall fear neither Pandora's box nor a bucket of worms.
No. Well, no. This is something that's important to us. It's the guiding document for our zoning recommendations. I mean, all zone changes have to be supported by the comprehensive plan. And our staff that work on the zone changes look to the comprehensive plan monthly. So it's important to have a document that is responsive to the changing expressions of growth and development that are occurring in the community, and we enjoy the process. We enjoy hearing from the community what's important to them, what they want to preserve, what they want to see brought up to date, and that informs a number of issues in our office.
Jim Duncan, Director of the Division of Planning, Lexington Fayette Urban County Government. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This podcast is produced in the studios of Dynamics Productions, an audio recording and sound design facility in Lexington. On the web at dxaudio.com. Dynamics Productions. We listen.